All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's an FTF Friday. That means we are where we want to be, and we are right around the corner from the weekend. It's Nick and Joel in studio. It is Barry Laminack from the Riverwalk of San Antonio, Texas, as he continues his world tour of comedy.
World tour of the week. Yeah. I mean, a tour would imply multiple dates and locations. I'm just here
throughout
Sunday.
The year, you do have multiple dates and locations. You cover exotic destinations like Oklahoma City,
Wichita, Kansas. I mean, you know, I'm a big deal.
You get around.
McAllen.
Brother.
Yeah. I do notice that comedians always have on their website, it'll say tour dates. And then they just have every place that they're booked. It's like, that's not, to me, a tour is like the Kings of Comedy. They went on a tour. They booked venues, and it was a, like, just a dude that works that just, that's not a tour.
Okay.
But, I would love to be able to tour. That would be great.
Barry is on the road bar hopping from club to club.
Oh, we fighting when I get back now.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm trying to give you mad props and say it's a tour. Now we're just bar hopping. Fine. It's good. Whatever it is, you're not here.
Is it raining there? Because it's raining here.
I don't know. It's dark as hell in here, and the blinds are shut for some reason.
It wasn't
so
when we pulled up, so I don't think so.
It's supposed to rain all day tomorrow. That's what I've heard.
Okay.
Good thing I washed my car.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Now it's going to get a little Jesus shower.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. So more people last night than the first night?
It was insane last night. They canceled the show. Like, four people showed
really?
Up. Really? Yeah. Four people were
so
there to watch.
So they canceled the show mid-show?
No, they canceled it before it starts. So the way they do it is Scott, the manager of the club, will be like, all right, if we don't get 10 people, I'm not having a show. It's just not worth it. So it's like, okay, that's good. Because honestly, doing comedy for five people is horrible. Doing comedy for 14 people in a venue this big, because this thing will hold like 600-700 people. And then you put 14 people in there, and it feels, it feels like there's two people in the Summit. That's what it feels like. So I show up and he's like, yeah, we got four tickets sold. I was like, oh, and this was at 8:20. So he goes, we'll figure it out in a minute. I was like, what do you think? Six people are just going to magically walk up? So 8:30 rolls around and goes, all right, we're not going to do a show. So that was it.
You still get paid though, right?
Oh yeah. 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 My fee is for the week, I do all seven shows or if they cancel three of them. Like if they were to cancel Wednesday, Thursday and Sunday, I still get my full pay.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. The only thing that sucked is I drove. It's about a 40 minute drive one way.
Okay.
And then, so yeah, I drove 40 minutes to wait 10 minutes to be told to go home. So 80 minutes for a 10-minute wait to not do a show.
That's
pretty,
fine.
Pretty sweet.
Good ratio. It's essentially like going from your house to do a World Series show and then turning around and not having to do it and going back. But at least you made more money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what it would have been. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So did you ask him if he could use his office so you at least had access to the internet?
No, I did not, which I should have thought about that, but I didn't. What I did is I went home and started working on my taxes because I'm a wild man and I live a crazy life.
Wow.
So I started like putting together like all my different gigs for the year of 2017.
Uh-huh.
So I basically keep track of it all, but it's just, every time I get a gig, I'll write down the particulars and on my calendar in Google. So I'll just say, all right, this is where it is. This is how much I'm getting paid. This is who I'm working with. So I kind of keep, but I don't keep it in a spreadsheet. So last night I did that and then I started doing all the mileage for every gig that I drove to. Mm-hmm. I drove 9,600 miles last year going to gigs.
Wow.
That's a lot. That's almost 10,000 miles I put on my truck just going to gigs. So
Yeah, that's some serious mileage. There's no doubt about that. But again,
yeah,
I mean you're humping, you know, humping for success.
Trying to get there. I'm trying.
Anything crazy or freaky happened to you in the meantime since basically Lubs was a dead end experience?
Well, yeah. So did I tell you guys yesterday that these people their house, they left me the house for the weekend, and they just said the only thing we want you to do is just feed our cat, Smokey.
Smokey.
Did I mention the cat that they have?
You left the cat part out.
Yeah, we
have
not heard about Smokey.
Yeah, so they were like, yeah, you know, you can have the house, whatever, make yourself at home, you can drink all the drinks and eat our food, there's beer in the fridge and wine and the whiskey's over here, and they're just like, make yourself at home, do whatever, just feed Smokey for us. I was like, yeah, no problem, I got cats, it's no big deal, they don't weird me out or anything. And then I started looking at this cat, and they said he's real skittish, like he won't come to you, but he didn't have a problem coming up to me because he wanted to go outside, and I started looking at this cat before I let him out, and he's got like 7 toes on each of his front feet. He's got like extra it looks
digits.
Like a catcher's mitt.
Wow.
Yeah, he looks like he's like Antonio Alfonseca of cats. He's got this extra thing hanging off. I was like, what the hell is that? And so I texted him. I was like, why does your cat have extra toes? And they said, oh, that's a Hemingway cat. Have you guys ever heard of this?
No.
So I had to look it up, and apparently Ernest Hemingway brought these cats over from wherever they're from, and he had a bunch of them in his property in Florida, and they all had extra toes and like an extra nail, almost like a Coke nail on a pimp or something. I don't know. It was weird. But there's you know hundreds of these cats at his property in Florida, and when he died, he left money for someone to be able to take care of all these cats. And I guess they've been breeding them. So when you get a cat with extra digits on its front paws, that's a Hemingway cat. And I didn't know that. I just thought he was weird, like he was a crack baby cat.
Why does Hemingway get the honor?
I who knows? I mean, it's not like he invented it, right?
Yeah, I'm not okay.
He just bought them, but that's what they call them. But last night, I thought I was gonna die. I thought I was gonna be murdered because. So this house is on a hill. It's almost kind of in the middle of nowhere. And it's dark all around the house. There's no street lights. They don't have any porch lights. So you can't light up anything around this house. And there's about 9 different doors that connect to the outside for this house. So there's a bunch of ways to get in plus all the windows. And the whole front of the house is nothing but windows. So it looks out over these hills and the driveway and everything. And I'm sitting there watching the Warriors game and someone pulls up in the driveway. And it's kind of, like I said, it's on a hill and the driveway is pretty long. So it's, I mean, you know, a couple hundred yards at least. And they pull up to the house and they stop and they turn their car lights off, but the yellow lights, the parking lights are still on.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit there for a minute. And then the lights go back on, and they back up, and they leave. And I was like, okay, I'm dying. Oh. This is now. I am officially going to – somebody got out, and I didn't see them, and they're hiding in the bushes, and I'm going to be murdered. And then I hear a noise in the garage, and I was like, what? So I'm – and I literally had a moment where it felt like I was in a scary movie because I opened the garage door, and I'm like, Smokey? Because I didn't know what the noise was. And when I did it, I was like, oh, my God, is someone filming? Am I going to be murdered right now? So I'm walking around the garage, and then something fell, and it was Smokey, and he had knocked something over, just like in a movie. I was like, this is too creepy for me, man. I can't do this.
Did you, after that, go, I think I'm going to go and investigate with no light by walking barefoot outside right now with no phone? Because that's what happened in the movies.
That's pretty much what I did.
That's outstanding.
And that's what I say. I realized about halfway through, I was like, what am I doing? So I got so freaked out that I just I went and got a knife out of the kitchen.
Oh, God.
And I sat on the couch in the living room with all the lights on watching basketball. I even watched the rerun of
with
the
OKC
with a knife on the couch just waiting to die.
Oh my God. Then Why didn't you have the GoPro then? You should have had the GoPro and like
yeah,
you could have done Blair Witch 2. Just tape it to your forehead and just go outside and start going, I hear something, but I don't know where they are.
Blair
I gotta keep
Witch
looking
2.
For them. That
was pretty
fantastic.
Good. Dude, I was so freaked out. I didn't go to bed until like 3:30, and I just slept sitting up on the couch all night.
With a knife.
Yeah, with a knife next to me, thinking I was going to die.
Good thing you didn't, like, you know, fall asleep and then kind of fall over, and then the knife just actually accidentally just got
stab myself.
Yeah, then me like start screaming. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then the other weird thing was when I let Smokey out, I let him out really early in the day, and I couldn't get him. I couldn't find him. Because this was 12 hours, and I hadn't seen the cat, because they said he goes outside to poop. I hadn't seen the cat in 12 hours, and he hadn't eaten, and I was thinking, oh, my God, I hope Smokey didn't get eaten by a coyote, because that's how like, empty it is around here. Okay. And he said he had lost his other cat to a coyote. I was like, man, if this cat dies while I'm here, they're going to blame me.
Yeah, you ain't coming back.
No. So and she said sometimes when he's ready, he'll sit in like the windowsill in the kitchen, and I had forgot that. And I went in the kitchen to get something to drink, and I turned the light on, and I almost pooped my pants because the cat was sitting in the window, and I screamed a little. It scared the crap out of me, literally.
Was it a high-pitched scream?
It was a, oh! Okay. Yeah, cat sitting in the window. So it was a scary night all the way around for me. Not fun.
Sounds like it. Goodness.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for the weekend. You guys, you should be at all kinds of festivities, especially if this car comes back.
I might just sleep at the club. It might not be as weird.
Plus, you get better internet service. It might be a good option.
That's true.
But then who takes care of Smokey?
I mean, I'll swing back by during the day and feed him.
That's animal abuse.
You know, it did make me think. Somebody just texted and said, you didn't have a gun. I know. I leave my gun at the house for my wife when I'm not there. So I don't bring it with me because my other one got stolen. I need to get a second gun is what I need to do.
There you have it. You know, yeah, that the listeners will be quick to help you out on that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we're just getting started. And tell everybody, our comedian of the week is Mo Ammer, right? Correct?
Yes, sir, Mo Ammer.
All right, so we'll come back and you'll give us a little background on Mo, but we'll be running some of his clips throughout the show. It's an FEF Friday, so if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, that you want to get involved in the fun games and shenanigans that we like to do on Fridays, give us a call, 713-780-3776. That's the HRP listener line where you can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, it's at the producer Nick, and it's Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're just getting going, so don't go anywhere. Palillo at 1:30, also from 1:30 to 2, so Charlie will join us in just a little bit. But we're just going to get going and hope you are along for the ride till 4. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN
97.5.
I jumped right into it. I was like, hey, man, I don't know what all the hate's about. Muhammad is the most popular name in the world, okay? You know what's frustrating about that fact? I went to Disneyland 3 weeks ago, not one keychain with my name on it. Not a single, not one person has shared a Coca-Cola with me in America. Not a single person. I must confess, I don't even know how popular the name was until I watched the Egyptian soccer team. They were showing a play-by-play, and the commentator comes on, and he's like, Muhammad has the ball. Muhammad pass the ball to Muhammad. Muhammad to Ahmed. Ahmed to Hamada. Hamada to Muhammad. Muhammad to Muhammad. Muhammad to Muhammad. Muhammad, 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 Muhammad. I was like, this weed is too strong, Steven. Just one guy on the team.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday. That was Mo Ammer. Mo Ammer is going to be featured throughout the program because FEF Fridays also stand for funny. And Barry has a comedian each week that we feature, and he gives us a little background. We play some clips, and you get a little bit more educated on people from, in this case and in certain cases, connections to Houston and or being from the area, and also how far they've gone and what they've done. And Mo is one of those guys. He's done Stephen Colbert. Yep. He's been out there quite a while and covered a lot of ground. So, Barry, give us a little background on Big Mo.
Yeah, dude, Mo moved to Houston in 90. They were in Kuwait. His dad was working in Kuwait. He's of Palestinian descent, but they were in Kuwait when the Gulf War happened. And so they actually fled Kuwait to come to Houston. So he came pretty early on and went and saw Bill Cosby at the rodeo. His brother took him, and that's when he fell in love with comedy. He ended up winning or being a finalist in the Houston's Funniest Comic Contest in like 99. Went on to do a tour. And one of the cool things about Mo is he's actually a feature for Dave Chappelle. So when Chappelle is touring the country and was touring to get prepared for his specials, Mo was the feature. And the feature basically is the guy that comes on right before Chappelle. So they'll have a host usually, and I Ashley Barnhill is Chappelle's host. She'll come out and do like 15 minutes, then Mo will do 30 minutes, then of course Chappelle comes out and does his thing. So yeah, local guy doing well on the national scene. He's got Comedy Central specials. Like you said, he's been on Colbert. He's done all the late night tours. So Mo Ammer, look him up, dude. Really funny guy.
Good deal. Good deal. So, yeah, so we'll be playing some clips throughout the show, but he's got some funny stuff, and I heard Nick loading some of the bits. So you guys should find some enjoyment in all of that. With all that being said, I mean, you said you sat on the couch with a knife watching basketball last night, so obviously the action didn't make you want to cut your throat or anything. Anything stand out to you that you witnessed?
Yeah, the Wolves need to get Kat some help.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jimmy Butler's dinged up, so that doesn't help. But they, you know.
But they. They need another. I mean, he needs another superstar, and I know Jimmy Butler how well he's playing this year. There's no doubt. And there's no denying how well he's playing this year. But it's not the Jimmy Butler that we've seen in the past. You don't know if you can count on Jimmy Butler being this Jimmy Butler for the next few years. But I feel like if the Wolves could get another bona fide stud superstar. Because I felt watching the game, I felt like it was him versus OKC.
But you got a problem built in, which is the fact that you're paying Wiggins max money.
Yeah,
so,
well,
you know, that's where they think they already have the guy you're looking for. So you're paying Wiggins, you're paying
night.
Butler, you're going to be paying Kat, you're paying Jamal Crawford off the bench, you paid to get Teague in his big contract. I don't know that they have any money. They'd have to pull some kind of a trade-off to make that team any better. And surprisingly, with all that being said, they're still right there, sitting there for a home court advantage first-round playoff series because of the way they've been playing.
Yeah, and I said the Thunder. I meant the Warriors is who they played.
Right.
But it just felt like watching that game that it was Karl-Anthony Towns versus the world. I mean, I didn't look at the numbers until I pull up the box score this morning. He put in 31. Crawford had 21 off the bench. But everybody else, you know, 10, 11, Teague had 17. It just felt like it was a one-man show versus the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, looking at it, you're right. They looked like they were undermanned. But the other thing that I took away from it just watching it was the fact that that's the Golden State Warriors team that you're going to see come postseason. When they do what they do there, you better be very well prepared and ready for it because – when those three guys, and you know, I'm not even mentioning Draymond Green right now, but when those three guys do what they did last night, they provide a whole hell of a lot of problems. They're not missing shots. They're moving the ball. You know, they're sharing the rock. They're playing defense. That's the Warriors team that I expect to see in the postseason.
Yeah, they almost scored. Well, they did. They scored 78 points between those three guys, Durant, Curry, and Thompson. 78 points. That's hard to hang with.
Two of them almost had a triple-double. One of them did. I mean, Durant had 28, 11, and 10. Curry, you know, had his normal 25 and 9 dimes. But then you look at the numbers Draymond Green put up. He had 9 points. He had 8 rebounds. You know, he does the little things. And then Clay, when Clay gets back to being Clay, 7 of 9 from 3-point range. That's all he's got to do. 25 points, 3 dimes, 5 boards. And you go, okay. Whatever they get from everybody else in their supporting cast, that's just fine because they're a well-oiled machine. And the biggest thing that I worry about them with the Rockets is they've figured out how to put their egos aside and just make sure it gets done. Whereas that's what worries me about the Rockets still because it's so new to them with Chris Paul trying to figure out when they need to kind of just share the rock, spread the ball, move it and do their thing and not worry about who, you know, the superstar has to have the ball at this point. If Eric Gordon's hot, feed him. But, yeah, that Golden State team's impressive.
Yeah, and the Wolves are lucky they got 21 out of Crawford. Because he's averaging like 10 a game, so it could have been really ugly last night, especially without Butler.
Yeah, with Butler not playing, that's a big difference. And what I said to you earlier in the week on this, and after watching him play the Rockets too, why in the world Tom Thibodeau insists on being just such a dictator and calling plays and making sure that they run offense? That's a team right there that would be much more successful if you just let them go. Just let them go. Don't let them run. Yeah, just don't make them force them to make plays by running an offense that they don't want to run anyway. But you got guys that if you get them out in the open floor and just let them, they'll get more open looks, score more points, and be more effective than when they're trying to, especially with Butler out of the lineup, trying to run plays. That's watching paint dry. That's hard. And how about the first game? Westbrook, and that's just the story of the night, and that was hilarious, is the fact that we find out after the game that he saw all of the results of the All-Star draft between Curry and LeBron, and he was convinced he was the, you know, you and I talked about it yesterday, the last player chosen. Well, he was convinced he was the last player chosen, and man, did he have a chip on his shoulder. Not only did he go for 46, but after the game, he didn't want to talk about the selections. You could tell Russ was being Russ. He was salty. And then all of a sudden, you could tell Carmelo is yelling in the background, like, someone tell him he wasn't the last player chosen. And then the media starts filling him in on the fact that it was alphabetical order and Westbrook was last. And he finally then kind of started to kind of crack a smile and relax a little bit. And Melo's like, I told you.
Yeah. And I think Westbrook said, I told you I was the first pick of the draft, and walked off laughing. Because he knew he wasn't going to be the first pick. No. And Durant was.
But. Right.
Yeah,
pretty funny. Did you see, by the way, what he wore into the building?
Dude, did you hear Barkley busting on him about that?
I did not.
He was like, you make all that money, you can't afford to buy a complete shirt. Because it was all holes. The sweatshirt had holes in it, and he was showing cleavage.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that's your favorite internet model, you are loving life that she's wearing that. But instead, he had double boobs showing out of the peephole in the middle of his ripped-up sweatshirt.
Speaking of, did you guys hear about Montrezl Harrell and the Instagram model story?
No.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We'll bring it up at some point. Yeah.
I want to hear about that. What you guys want to hear about, whether you like it or not, is Charlie Polillo's on deck. He's swinging the donut on his bat, and he's going to come in swinging as we'll talk to him from 1:30 to 2 o'clock as we continue to roll on. If you got questions for the show and or Charlie, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. Charlie's next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, as promised, Charlie Polillo is in the on-deck circle, and he is now coming swinging into the box. As Barry's in San Antonio, Nick and I are here. Charlie's popped into the studio till 2 p.m., and we are here to talk to you, the listener, on The Usual Suspects. Charlie, Friday, F yeah, what's up?
Hi, Barry! Do I need to talk to you?
Hi, Charlie!
No, well, it's not two soup cans and string. I mean, you're not yelling to greet San Antonio.
Remember which end of the hall I'm coming from. I need to check on these things.
By the way, in the room that you guys work at, it is like volume level 10 required, especially anything with Patrick Creighton. We do our prep work in the room next to you. You better blame it on the walls, because you come through loud and clear.
And I'm not loud. I've heard Patrick is actually registered on the Geiger counter.
And that is a fact. That is actually a fact.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yes, Charlie, you don't need to scream. There's this thing called technology, and we're good.
So are the Spurs home this weekend?
I don't know.
We told him yesterday. I told him yesterday. If he really wanted to
I heard that. To create the downtown apocalypse.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea.
Just see how crazy they would go.
That's a great idea. I can't wait to go get murdered.
Hey, by the way, Kawhi Leonard got traded. And even if you didn't say for Nene Ryan Anderson and Ivan Drago, the rights to Ivan Drago, you know, you could say anything and just see how they'd just totally freak out. Because it's possible.
And the immediate reaction of most fans, I think, is to believe almost anything.
Sure, and especially if I walk up and say, hey, Barry Lavin on ESPN Radio, wanted to get your reaction on Kawhi Leonard being traded. They'd be like, what? And then just, it'd be over.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fun for me.
So is this staying in the hypothetical bin, or is there going to be actual movement on this?
You know, it depends on how lazy I am tomorrow. And if I feel like getting out and about, it's supposed to rain a little bit. I'm staying in the middle of nowhere. If I don't get murdered in my sleep tonight.
What's the middle of nowhere?
Out in the outskirts of San Antonio.
Yeah, and you get to them in a hurry. San Antonio, it's actually, I think, the eighth or ninth largest quote-unquote city in the country, the defined city-specific population. But it's something like the 28th or 32nd market, because in a hurry, once you get outside of San Antonio, there's no there there, and there's a lot of no there.
No, I'm in Helotes, which is, I don't know. All I know is I'm sitting on a hill surrounded by nothing but cactus and coyote, and I overlook San Antonio. So I feel like, I'm on vacation from the view. It's just the fact that there's nothing around me that makes me feel like I'll be murdered.
So you book your own accommodations, or your agent needs a talking to?
No. I'm staying with a family friend up here. When you have friends and family in cities where you go work, it saves a ton of money. Especially since they're not here. They left. They went to Rockport and gave me their house for the week. So I'm like, cool.
So you're mocking relatives for living in the boonies, is what you're telling me. Or friends, you said.
Correct. That's correct.
Right. So you're playing Club Deliverance this weekend? What?
That's right. That's right. If I hear banjos while I'm sitting on the couch, I'm coming home.
Get the hell out of there. Quick.
Yeah, that's it. I'm coming home. Hey, Charlie, I was curious what your thoughts were on this Hall of Fame voting. We saw Chipper Jones, Vlad Guerrero, Jim Thome, and Trevor Hoffman get in. Jones and Thome, after 1 year on the ballot, or their 1 year on the ballot, anybody that didn't make it that you think should have, like Edgar Martinez or Mike Mussina?
Both. Mussina's criminally, well, not quite criminally, but underappreciated. The body of his work, a lot of it in Camden Yards with the Orioles, Pitcher's Park, very consistent, but within the baseball vernacular, nothing sexy about Mike Mussina.
Right.
He didn't rack up 20 win seasons until his very last season. He won 20 with the Yankees and said, that's all, folks.
He was a workhorse, though.
But well into the 200s in wins, 200 inning seasons stacked up. If Curt Schilling's eventually going in, he's sort of the anti-Mussina, the high-profile October postseason excellence and a lot of bombast, whereas all Mussina did was go out 32-33 starts, 210-220 innings, win 17-18 games every year. So I think he qualifies for long and sustained excellence. He was a clearly greater pitcher, for instance, than Jack Morris.
But Jack Morris had the
October legendary postseason type stuff. And look, to me, a designated hitter, it's a heftier role than, say, a punter in football. But if you're going to have a position and you are the greatest ever at that position, I think you probably belong in your sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and he qualifies. Edgar Martinez was one hell of a stick for the Mariners. I was going to ask you, so is Schilling going to end up being baseball's version of Terrell Owens? Because of all of the crap off the field, does Curt Schilling stay out because people don't want to vote for him because they don't like all of his non-baseball stuff?
But Schilling, now I think T.O. gets some bad rap for the cancer and the clubhouse stuff because his team's won in San Francisco, and he went to the Super Bowl with Philadelphia, and even in Dallas they had the 13-3 season. So it's not as if he tore down every team that he was with. Whereas Schilling, it's even a further degree removed that, he was an a-hole or is an a-hole. I don't recall hearing Schilling, once he matured, right, when the Astros had Schilling and traded him for Jason Grimsley, he's a self-admitted young knucklehead, borderline punk-type guy. But I think he became a veteran leader and clutch, and you never heard stories of, oh, what a jerk in the clubhouse because of his politics or anything else.
Right.
But post-playing career, and the millions of dollars looted from the state of Rhode Island or whatever went down there with his failed video game company. But that really has nothing to do with his on-field career. So to me, if Jack Morris is in, Curt Schilling has the October bones, and he was clearly a better regular season pitcher over his career, though not quite with the bulk numbers of Morris. So by that standard, I think Schilling should be in too. So yeah, that's the concern, the creep of the Hall of Fame. And I understand Tim Kirkjian, who loves all things baseball, but if we left it up to him, they'd vote in 37 guys every year.
Yeah, and I don't understand
the creep
how you could
put them all in. eventually.
You can't penalize Schilling for his off the field stuff. If that's the case, then you're gonna exclude. You're gonna take Ty Cobb out. I mean, there's guys that are bad people,
right?
But what they did off the field has nothing to do with their performance on the field. So if he is being penalized for what he did off the field, I think that's unfair.
We agree. And as odious as you might find Curt Schilling's politics, I don't think that's a reason to not vote him into the Hall of Fame any more than if you're swooning over Curt Schilling and lock, stock, and barrel, you buy every political idea that he has. That's not a reason to vote for him for the Hall of Fame. It's the Baseball Hall of Fame. I understand that there actually is a morals criterion that the voter, but I think that's pursuant to the baseball career itself. Didn't have anything to do with after the guy played.
I mean, and look, you look at it, and obviously the big dust-up afterwards is Bonds and Clemens don't get in again. And it goes back to a discussion Barry and I have had for about a year now, which is the fact that we don't know the criteria, but it just seems to be, you know, somewhat high and mighty with the writers' votes of, you know, their morals clauses on their own watch are being factored in when they start picking who gets in, who doesn't. Both guys would have gotten in without taking anything. But because they did, do they ever sniff it?
Well, they each gained votes again this year, but they gained fewer votes. They only crept up 2, 3%. They have 4 years left on the ballot, but neither guy is at 60. I'm thinking it may come down to that last year when there might be voters saying, all right, we sweated him out as long as we could, but if it's the last year I can vote for him, now I'm going to vote for him. I can accept a writer's position, if morally, if I know you cheated to a fundamental certainty, I'm just not voting for you. And for any of you, A-Rod, Manny Ramirez, Rafael Palmeiro, Clemens, Bonds, any others, I personally draw a distinction where if I think you're only a Hall of Famer because you cheated or have Hall of Fame credentials because you cheated, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, there's never any direct admission yet, but I mean, come on. Whereas in the case of Clemens, he was a Hall of Fame before his period of extensive B12 use and suspicion kicked in, you know, Toronto and later Roger. He was already a Hall of Famer off what he did in Boston. Same with Barry Bonds before he became the giant-headed Barry Bonds. He was always already a three-time MVP.
Big-time numbers.
He was the best player in baseball.
Yep.
So that would be my judgment. I can accept that if applied consistently, that if I ever know that you cheated, I just can't stomach that. So I think the last year of the ballot is when it's rubber hits the road time for both Mr. Flaxseed Oil and Mr. B12.
And speaking of that, McGriff in his ninth year, 23% of the vote.
Yeah.
Martinez in his ninth year, 70%. So I think when you look at guys that next year are going to be in their last opportunity, I think Martinez probably gets in. He should be able to get the 4.6% that he needs to get him to 75%. Fred McGriff is too far away at 23% this year after 9 years. And I think rightfully so. McGriff was always a guy. I think one year he made like top five in MVP voting, but there was guys like Frank Thomas and Jeff Bagwell and Jim Thome and guys at first base that he never was able to be in that league with them at that position.
The Hall of very, very, very good for a very long time.
Yeah, the crime dog was always above average.
Phenomenally consistent.
Yep.
But never hit 50 in a season, never had the one real monster year that you'd say, oh, that's the defining year of his career. But 493 home runs, but
not
at
bad.
A position, and you name Barry, a few of the first basemen overlapping at least his time, where they are stacked. They are stacked pretty deep.
But he did make Tom Emanski and the Tom Emanski how to play baseball videos. There's no doubt about it.
That's the way that he wore the hat.
Yeah, and the fact that it looked like
way up there.
And it looked like a Trump presidential Make America Great Again hat with the foam front and the snapback. Before we get any further, though, I want to throw out to both of you guys one question that I did have is, I know that, you know, some other Astros are coming up on the ballot, but who are we to expect will be the next Astro in? Are we going to have to wait until this class of guys finishes out their career and gets done, or are we going to look at the likes of a Lance Berkman, of a Roy Oswalt, of, you know, Billy Wagner, guys like that? Who's getting in next for the Houston Astros?
The three guys that you named are no, no, and no. And
so Billy Wagner's a no, too.
He's just nowhere close in the voting. I can't see him climbing, though it's not as if his career was incredibly substantially inferior to Trevor Hoffman's beyond the raw numbers
right.
Of the saves. Berkman's very best 5 or 6 years are right there with Bagwell's best 5 or 6 years, except for the 94 strike year when Bagwell was Ted Williams combined with Babe Ruth. But there's not enough there for Lance. He had 366 home runs. As I'm sure each of you have clicked to today, my piece on sportsmap.com.
Glued to it.
Mentions each of these guys. Berkman just doesn't have enough quantity numbers. I wondered if at some point in his career, if he tried batting left-handed full-time, if that might have made a difference. But he was always a switch hitter, so he was always comfortable with it. I mean, maybe he'd have totally had the willies batting lefty.
But wasn't his numbers as a switch hitter up there in terms of overall for a history of a career?
As a left-handed hitter, purely as a left-handed hitter, Lance Berkman's reasonably close to Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
As a right-handed hitter, Lance Berkman was a mediocrity. But he was always a switch hitter. He felt he had more natural. Remember the home run derby at Minute Maid Park? He did that right-handed. But the difference in OPS, it's over 200 points. He's like 995 left-handed, something like 747 or something. I'm not saying Brad Ausmus, but he was a true superstar as a left-handed hitter, as a right-handed hitter. Now, maybe if curveballs and sliders from lefties, he'd have been, you know, stepping in the bucket and running scared from the batter's box. But I always thought it was at least worth trying. At some point. But his overall numbers aren't good enough. Roy Oswalt was a stud. He had the greatest Astros pitching career of any Astros pitcher ever. He's one behind Joe Niekro in wins because they traded him when they were getting ready to go down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
But 163 wins, even with the lowered standards, unless your last name was Koufax, 163 wins as a starting pitcher. That's not Hall of Fame stuff.
No longevity on the numbers.
And most of it was as a Yankee. To me, Andy Pettit's another guy, the Hall of very, very good. I don't think there's the scent of greatness about Andy Pettit
that we should
associate with. I think he has a chance over time.
I think he'll get in because he's played in New York.
But for first ballot stuff, none of those guys are or should come close.
So, yeah, I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to go with a technicality and say that it'll either be Roger Clemens, who was an Astro, or Curt Schilling, who for 1 year was an Astro.
Yeah, but neither one of, I mean,
would go in as an
neither
Astro.
One of them's going in as an Astro.
No, but you just said Astros players. You didn't say going in as
I
an Astro.
I kind of specified the next Houston Astro, but it's okay. I mean,
well, they were Houston Astros. They were Houston Astros.
That would then be Altuve.
You spiked
as
your
the
camel,
to the question.
You gave your performance enhancing drugs to your camel, too. That's why you're a champion. But if you cheat to be a champion, hey, you're doing what you need to do.
And is
Billy
Wagner
six all time
really
in
the
saves?
Champion or is the camel the champion?
Me.
Right?
It's
they don't
all,
say
it's,
Ron Turcott won the Triple Crown. They say Secretariat won the Triple
point,
Crown.
Great point, Charlie. Nick, write that down. Yep, that's a very,
whoever
very
was
good
American Pharaoh.
It's,
yeah,
it's
I mean,
the
good
Indian,
for the
not
jockey,
the
but
arrow,
American
right?
American Pharaoh won the Triple Crown, not the little guy on top of him.
No, the jockey gets credit, too. And I've never, you know, it's the Indian, not the arrow is the saying, right?
It's Barry, Bill Shoemaker, and Lafitte Pincay.
Okay. I don't know what any of that was after
name a
Barry.
Group of men Barry
jockeys,
towers
Barry.
Over.
Jockeys.
one of these guys eats way more than the others.
Okay, there
all
you go.
Cue to the break. Mistress message here for Roof MD. Mark Donaldson, MD in Roof MD. Lived here his whole life. He's operated his business here as long as he's operated his business. And, well, he offers a pretty sweet freebie up front with no strings attached or obligation, a free roof inspection. If you own a home or a business, something you should be doing annually, especially since it will cost you exactly zero. Just give Mark and his Roof MD team a call at 832-967-ROOF, and if you get the full thumbs up, great. If not, well, you know you have a trustworthy, quality roofer and contractor to make things better for you. On the contracting side, work like window replacement, gutters, painting, fencing, and more. They do both commercial and residential roofing, and the roof inspection is free. Have I mentioned it will cost you nothing? 832-967-ROOF. 832-967-ROOF. Mark takes personal pride in being as up-to-date, as educated a roofer and general contractor as you will find in Houston. Just make the call, 832-967-ROOF, Roof MD and General Contracting. Working, you heard it from Charlie on ESPN 97.5.
There you have it. Charlie's got one more segment with us, so don't go anywhere. We'll come back after the break and kick it around just a little bit more until we take you up till 2 o'clock and then keep on going from there. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's in San Antonio. Charlie Pelillo's joining us till 2. Nick and I are where we're supposed to be as we continue to roll on an FYF Friday. Our comedian is Mo Ammer. We've already given you one clip of him. Barry's given you some background. We'll continue to give you some more of his comedy from now through the end of the show, because it is an FYF Friday, and F also stands for funny, which is why Charlie's here. Because flat out, just no one brings it like Charlie brings it when you need a good belly laugh. All right, Barry?
I'll play along.
Yeah.
I think I stifled sure. Barry on that one.
Yeah, I was dumbfounded. No, how many were on the ballot this year for the MLB? Because I was looking at
32, 33, something like that.
Were either of you at all surprised at how many had Astros ties on this list?
One degree of separation?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so I'm just going from the Jeff top Kent. Down. Clemens and Schilling, yeah.
Carlos Lee was on the ballot for his one and only Jeff appearance Kent, this year.
Billy Wagner. Johan Santana was a Rule 5 draft guy that got away from the Astros, which really hurt. You had Carlos Lee. You had Brad Lidge. A lot of connections on this ballot of guys that were in the organization at one point.
No, there are reasons it took 56 years to win a World Series.
Yeah, no question about it, because I'm looking at all of them, and most of them have no chance. I mean, Jeff Kent was a guy that there's another one. Billed as an a-hole off the field, but on the field was a pretty damn good second baseman for a long period of time.
Purely in the batter's box. Yeah. Jeff Kent was better than Craig Biggio.
Wow.
You just go. You go look at the numbers. The power that he brought, and he played most of his career in pitchers' parks, San Francisco, Los Angeles, a little bit with the Mets. But Jeff Kent slugged 500 for his career for a second baseman. Now, lineup placement's part of it, batting third and fourth, and having Barry for a number of years. But the guy drove in 100 runs as a second baseman, 8 years running. Again, purely in the batter's box.
Yeah.
Then you get to fielding and base running and so forth. But that Jeff Kent doesn't come close to 20% of the vote, I think he's underrepresented. But, hey, you can only vote for 10 of them. And just quickly, for anyone driving Carlos Lee was on the Hall of Fame ballot. If we were probably to do a real morbid show, the five greatest symbols of the Astros becoming the joke of professional sports for a while, I'm sure Carlos Lee would. But, hey, the guy did have a good career, and it's a simple rule. If you get 10 years of major league service time in, when you're out 5 years, you go on the ballot.
And he got one vote.
Did he? So he got who was that knucklehead?
One vote.
So Bill Worrell had a baseball vote just like when he voted Harden the other year for All-NBA?
And if you don't get 5% of the vote, you're not back on the ballot the next year. So there will be no more Carlos Lee, but he got one token vote. Every so often, and we're not electing Supreme Court justices here, kind of like this all-star draft in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I think it's to be taken seriously enough if you have a vote and not just as a lark, hey, I'm going to vote for this guy just to be the one.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I sent the guys, and you mentioned the all-star vote. I sent the guys the player votes and the ballots and how many guys got at least one vote. If you saw the list of names and all of the names that got a ton of votes, you know just how seriously the players took this. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. They didn't take it seriously at all. Bogdan Bogdanovich got several votes. I mean, guys at the end of the bench on certain teams were getting multiple votes. It's like, if the players don't care, why should we? And this is this big deal now, because now Westbrook got, we were talking about it, he got his panties in a wad last night because he thought he was the last player selected. We had joked who we thought the last player was. Was it Al Horford? Was it, you know, somebody else? But the fact of the matter is if this is what we're talking about, one, it's a really slow sports week. Yeah, and I guess the NBA got what they wanted, which was at least a little more juice on the game that no one cares about.
I think it's fun. Of course it should have been televised. Westbrook's response last night was one of the reasons it should be televised. So let's see who the biggest baby is, who freaks out. But it doesn't mean they're going to play any defense in the All-Star game, or now we're going to try to win because I'm going to show I deserve to be higher than the 17th picker or whatever it is. But for a fundamentally meaningless exhibition, I thought it was a little bit fun, but yes, TNT's production last night, turning it into a one-hour show, and I love Ernie Johnson, who's a spectacularly classy human mm-hmm. being, as well as the great host that he is, but he's talking with Steph and LeBron for 20 minutes as if this was some in-depth process. They might have finished the whole draft in like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Just rip through the names, and I'm going to lunch with my boys. Can we stop this now? But for 20 minutes, did you consider making trades? Did you consider making this pick and then that pick as if you were really building a roster like you're a general manager?
All right, well, let's get to our draft grades. Who to get? Let's do our draft grades because it's a draft.
Well, and then I'm sure that Daryl Morey wanted to see the results because he wanted to send tweets about if James Harden wasn't the first player overall taken.
Yeah, I actually mentioned yesterday I went and checked Daryl Morey's Twitter timeline to make sure he didn't whine much about Chris Paul. And we're rewarding winning and all this. This is the same guy and player who were bitching and moaning 2 years ago about Harden not being MVP, the MVP on a 41-41 team.
Right. But here's the thing, too. When you look at the fact that, you know, he takes these shots and he goes at TNT and he goes and everything's sensitive to Daryl Morey. But the fact of the matter is I keep saying, you just keep winning games. It'll take care of itself. Don't worry about it. But it's a really bad look when you keep putting it out there publicly like you're crying over spilled milk. And you mentioned Chris Paul. He didn't, but James Harden did.
Right.
James Harden went on this big campaign on social media about how Chris Paul should get in. Look, the numbers are fantastic, but the amount of games played, he doesn't qualify in my
mind.
More
than 35% of the schedule. Attendance is part of the grade. And James Harden at least should have said, Damian Lillard, what are you kidding me? Or whoever it is. The whole snub thing, it's only a snub if someone grossly undeserving is in ahead of you. So I think you need to name names. At least Westbrook indirectly implied Damian Lillard over Paul George, talking about guys who campaigned for the spot. But in the end, it doesn't matter.
I said Lou Williams should be in, and I said Klay Thompson should be out. I said simply because the fact that Barry crunched the numbers, they were very similar. But a guy that's the fourth, third, or fourth fiddle, depending on how you look at it, on a championship team, I get that. But without Lou Williams, the Clippers aren't even sniffing the 9 or 8 spot or being in the playoff discussion. Blake Griffin's missed a crap load of time. And for a guy that's probably never going to be in consideration again, you reward players like that for having the season that deserves the All-Star nod.
I don't mind that since it's just an All-Star game. Yeah. That is all it is, except for the stretch in baseball where Commissioner Bonehead there decided, let's decide home field in the World Series on it. That's Hall of Famer Bud Selig, yep, the commissioner of the steroid era, whether through willful neglect, blind eye, or just flat-out dum-dumbness. He sailed right into the Hall of Fame. So why not the players of that era?
And he won't let Pete Rose in. He's the guy, too, that's carried the torch there as well.
Pete's listening. Let's make his head explode. Chipper Jones was a better switch hitter than Pete Rose. Only Mickey Mantle was better among switch hitters. Lance Berkman was a better hitter than Pete Rose. He just doesn't have the quantity numbers. Pete's the hit king, but qualitatively, Chipper was better. Higher career batting average, Chipper Jones or Pete Rose?
Yeah. I've made that tie before.
Is it a tie?
303. Chipper more, and the power, it's a complete mismatch.
I've made that point before, Charlie, and I got screamed at by some baseball purists when I was like, well, if you just, on bulk, Pete Rose was, you know, he was untouchable. But when you really look at the tangibles and get down to the nitty gritty of what he did, he was good.
Yeah, he's Pete Rose.
But he
Rose.
Gets credit
he's,
for being, I think, today, sometimes better than he was game. Statistically.
Oh, right? You brought it today. And it wasn't farting around. You were bringing it today.
But the hat says hit king, right, that he's always walking around in. At least he doesn't have the gall to say greatest hitter of all time because Pete Rose wasn't one of the 50 greatest hitters of all time.
The white alligator loafers say god awful, too, by the way, that he wears like he was when he was in the studio up here with no socks.
I miss that.
White alligator loafers, which he's very fond of, too.
You'd think he'd at least wear red.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. No. Right. Well, we appreciate it, buddy. Hope you have a great weekend. Doesn't rain too much that you get the softball in on Sunday, and we'll check back on Monday.
NFC plus the points.
I know. I was going to say, are you going to watch the Pro Bowl? It's like a flag football game.
Stop it.
By the way, I tweeted today. If you want to catch it, check at Pac-Man Joel. But one of the greatest plays ever in a Pro Bowl, and before you guys both laugh, there is a play where Sean Taylor, the late, great Sean Taylor, decided on a quarterback sneak he was having none of it and unloaded from about 25 yards away, and I forget who the quarterback was, and just depleted them and just got everyone on his team to just go crazy on him. It was fantastic.
Barry, you can co-sign or mock. That's the greatest Pro Bowl story I've ever heard.
I will co-sign.
Hey, is break a Shocker. Leg? Is break a leg just theater, or does that go to comedy? Break a larynx? What should I say to you know,
no? Break a leg works.
Break
Good
a leg.
Luck is not something you say. Break a leg
Based
works.
Based on lately, it could be break a mic stand if the crowd keeps True. Rushing the stage.
True.
You saw that video.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were referring to a prior Barry incident.
No.
No.
Barry kicks ass, takes names, and worries about mic stands later. All right, well, we got 1 hour in the books, Charlie. We appreciate it. We'll see you again on Monday. Right now, before we head to the break, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about Mattress Mack for a long period of time, and I'm here to tell you now that the deals are better than ever. Mack and his staff have made sure that they are sitting there waiting to take care of you. Make sure that what you buy today, you get tonight. Make sure you get it at a great and fair price, and make sure their delivery people are doing all the things from a customer service perspective that'll keep you coming back again and again. Brandon from our staff just went there recently, couldn't find the furniture anywhere else, and what he did find was backordered for two months to 2 weeks, and he didn't want to take those chances. Went to Gallery, saved thousands of dollars. They delivered it the same night. They moved some furniture for him, took care of some other things, and he could not stop raving about how he was treated by the people at Gallery Furniture. You get that same treatment, not just because Brandon worked at the station. You walk in the front door, you'll get the same kind of treatment as Brandon got and everybody else gets. That's the way Mac does business, which means what he says is what they do. At any of their three locations, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, and of course, Post Oak right across from Dillard's in the Galleria area. They're going to make sure that there's no back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight, you save money. That's what they're doing at Gallery Furniture. The Astros promotion is back again. If you missed out last year, you can get in this year. They're calling it Astros 2.018, but you get in and you buy $3,000 worth of bedroom furniture. The Astros win it all. You get it all free at the end of the year, and many other deals along those lines. Check them out, one of three locations, Gallery Furniture, and as Max says, and he means it, Gallery really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.